Hi, my name is Eric Edwards. I played Pearl on the phenomenal movie Blade, and this is the Vampire Movie Minute.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies. Today, we're covering Blade, minutes 65 to 70. And joining me once again for these minutes,
it's Leandra from Rocky Horror Minute and Shock Treatment Minute.
The one thing we missed over real quick in the last episode, because it does affect this, the opening of this, is Frost ripped out the fangs of Dragon Eddie. And then he watches as he explodes in the sunlight and then tosses the fangs onto the council's table.
It really is cool. I was looking back at this, and I know that when I first watched it, the special effects were unclockable to me. And then rewatching it, I went, I don't know that this really stands the test of time, but I don't know that it really needs to. It still tells the story absolutely well.
I do love what when we switch back over to after Dragon Eddie, like, basically says that he's now in charge, and the council really doesn't seem to do anything. I guess they're just too old to get out of their chairs and fight a guy. I feel like
12 volunteers.
Right. Okay. So Frost has to be older than Blade, clearly, in order for him to be the man who bit his mother. Yeah. In the comics, Blade's mom was a whore. And Frost is an old man too, by the way. He's like an old Dracula kind of guy. And even in the Spider-Man cartoon series, you see an old guy with long white hair leaving out of a woman's bedroom while she's, like, cradling a baby. You know what I mean? Whereas in this, we get the actual origin where she was bitten while she was pregnant with him. And that, the cartoon, the Spider-Man cartoon, it said that, Blade's mother fell in love with a vampire. Sure.
Okay.
Seduction is a form of love, right? Mind control is a form of love. Hypnotism...
Yeah,
I don't think that's consensual, though, right? Do you think we glamorize a vampire romance too much, looking past the fact that it is mind manipulation and basically rape?
It is both of those things, and it's also, like, there's the general power imbalance. Like, even if somebody thinks that they're a willing participant in this, you really can't be equals if one person has godlike powers. It's just not a thing.
Why do you think, as a woman, why do you think we romanticize the vampire, but we do not romanticize any kind of non-consensual sexual activity forced upon us, whether you're a man or a woman?
I think that it's because there's still always the sense of a thrill of doing something that is so incredibly taboo. And this is supernatural enough that it doesn't quite register in the same way that a reality based, like, non-consensual act would. And that There's something, it's kind of like the 50 Shades thing, where, this is really hot if it's a billionaire doing it, but if it's Elmer Fudd doing it, it's, like, inherently gross.
Like Vincent D'Onofrio in The Cell.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what scene I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you think about that, and... I mean, no offense to Vincent D'Onofrio. I've never considered him to be, like, a handsome man, like I would say, you know, Chris Evans or any actor who's played James Bond. He's not been that kind of, actor for me. And as a heterosexual man, I can say, oh, James Bond's very handsome. I love Daniel Craig. I love his rugged good looks. You know what I mean? Harrison Ford, I can say, you know, I watched Witness last night and I was just like, you know, if I was an Amish girl, I'd fall in love with Harrison Ford too.
Yeah.
Also, somebody who else has never fought a vampire, Harrison Ford. What the heck's that? What was that? Harrison Ford's never fought a vampire. Maybe he did. Oh, no, that's not true. Well, not Harrison Ford, but Indiana Jones fought Dracula in one of the episodes of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. Yeah.
I guess that counts.
Yeah.
It counts well enough.
And also, if you've ever seen Da Vinci's Demons, which is about, like, a young leather jacket wearing Leonardo da Vinci, you know, before he became the famous inventor, he fought Dracula and then had to find Dracula and get his help for a problem over in France. Or Italy, sorry.
That is wild. I'm just going to have to sit and think about how I feel about that.
But
that's very goofy.
I think it was like there was a Noel Wiley TV like movie series that became a TV series called The Librarians. In the third one of those, he met a new girl, and she turned out to be a vampire. And it's the actress who was the detective cop girl on Castle.
Oh wow!
Yeah, she played a really nice. She played a really sexy vampire. I was like. Yeah, more of this actress doing that.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, and she was good a very flighty, happy, kind of like seductive vampire, but not like, I'm tragic and goth and just have to be morbid and Morticia Adams. No, she was like living up her vampire lifestyle.
I think that that's why I have a bit of a soft spot for True Blood, because there were so many different iterations of like what it was to be a vampire in that series.
Yeah.
And... not all of them took it super seriously.
Right. I think the only person that's come out of that show that's had anything worthwhile going on is Deborah Ann Warhol, who plays Karen Page on the Daredevil stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone else have just seen kind of, like, disappeared. I mean, you can say Anna Paquin's, like, big, but it's like, when was the last time you saw Anna Paquin in anything? When was the last time you saw Bill the Vampire in anything, her husband in real life?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I did, what's the name of the black waitress from, the black female waitress from True Blood?
It's Tara, I know that was her character's name, but she was in, was it Walking Dead?
Video Game.
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us Part 2, she's the brother-in-law, she's married to the brother of Joel.
Yeah.
Who also had some, supernatural connections in the MCU. What supernatural character did Joel's brother play, the actor, in the MCU? By the way. MCU adjacent, let's just say.
Oh, wow.
Robbie Reyes, the Ghost Rider.
What?
Yep. For one season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he played the Dodge Charger, Hell Charger, riding Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes.
He was
in a car accident... and he was lying for dead. His brother got his brother crippled, and he was lying dead on the road when a flaming motorcycle shows up and makes him a deal to save his brother's life. And it was Johnny Blaze.
That's so cool.
It was so awesome. Let me tell you, it was like seriously the best season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ever. And it's like the first half of the season deals with the Darkhold, and then the second half is kind of like a what-if story, and you don't really kind of understand that it's a what-if until you realize they're all trapped in some kind of virtual reality, where what if Hydra won?
I remember watching this, I just don't remember that. I'm going to have to rewatch.
Oh, yeah, one of the best things that happens is one of the main characters, the Ghost Rider demon possesses them, and they become the Ghost Rider for like a hot minute to stop the big problem of the episode.
That's super neat. I do think that people kind of slept on that show, and I think that people should go back and rewatch it.
I mean, Agent May and Coulson, those characters should definitely come back. I mean, Nicole Coulson's died and come back, and there's like an animal decoy or whatever. Just figure it out. It would be cool to see like Agent May and Coulson and Quake and those characters kind of show up in the MCU as some kind of like adjacent thing. But I understand the MCU's got a lot of problems right now. I mean, we can't even get a Blade movie going. And it's like Wesley Snipes said in the Deadpool Wolverine movie, there only would ever be one Blade.
Yeah. I was still just over the moon when I saw him in that film. I came into that completely blind, so when I saw Wesley Snipes in there, I was like, oh my god, they brought him back! That's so cool!
I do love what Whistler says to Blade when he sniffs the parchment and goes, did a vampire wipe his ass with this?
Yeah, I love this, and I also love that there are people, there are vampires that are spending such a long time translating this, that Whistler just reads a snip of it, and it's abundantly clear that in like 20 minutes he's going to be able to tell exactly what all of this means. It's just, I love that little bit of kind of I guess that you could call that lazy writing. I don't. I just think that it's kind of a fun comic book thing that happens a lot where as soon as one person kind of breaks the puzzle or figures it out, it seems like everybody else has to.
Indeed, indeed. Whistler just seems to be kind of like the guy in the chair for Blade, which is really what he is, which is really great.
Yeah.
I do love, like, Karen wants her, like, new serum to work, but it ends up, like, blowing up, which is, like, you know, not great. Blade's like, I don't think so. You're not putting that stuff in me.
And then she goes, yeah, but it's good for exploding vampire heads. And you're right.
It sucks they gave Whistler cancer. I don't understand why we kill him off later on. We're not going to get into that because that's another set of minutes, but... This plotline of giving Whistler cancer just—it feels wrong. Blade leaving Karen and Whistler together to go to Chinatown and then meets Frost. Just it makes for interesting scenery in the trailer we saw, but it definitely, like, as soon as I saw that happening, I immediately figured out that Frost just sent, like, his goons to go kill.
Oh yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, I like it, but I don't like it. But good on Frost for having a, you know, like, being able to, like, I want to be like you, the Daywalker. But he's got, like, the little girl, the little Asian girl that he's caressing his fingers against her cheek. Kind of reminds me of something that, like, Drew would do in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Happy meals on legs. Would your mother miss you if you were gone? You know, that kind of attitude she would say. And then Angel shows up, run home.
Oh, I haven't thought about Drusilla in such a long time. I was a big Spike and Drusilla fan.
I hope she gets to come back. Julia, what's her face?
Yeah.
Julia Landau to play that character.
Help.
Your little friend will end up on the back of a milk carton. I love that.
Yeah, some of the lines in this movie are just so fun and kind of pithy in a very good and enjoyable to listen to way.
Cast. You can check out my graphic novel, Vlada, A Dracula Tale. We gender swap the cast of Dracula. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.